Paul moves on in the letter to the Romans to discuss the witnesses we have to hope. This chapter is a chapter on hope. The greatest hope is that God Himself, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us and moves us to salvation and gives us the power and the energy to die to sin and live to God. We have to yield to that power, and it's a struggle. But the Lord understands that. Today, after having talked about that struggle yesterday, He says today, I consider that the sufferings of His present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us. That's what we look forward to. Now He's going to give us four foundations for this hope. The first is, look at the incompleteness of the material universe. It's a mess. How do I know it's a mess? Because I know it can be better. Otherwise, I'd say, oh, volcanoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and whatever. But I know. So even the difficulty is a sign of hope, because the Lord is going to change it. We can see that with the eyes of faith. And then He talks about ourselves. We're part of this universe, very much so, and physically very much part of this universe. And we're waiting for our own redemption. Now creation groans, we grow. And then He talks about hope. And then He gives us two more signs of hope. The presence of the Spirit who's praying in us, and our knowledge of God's plan. Now, three and four are not here today, because they're there tomorrow. But tomorrow we have the Feast of Saints Simon and Jude, and we'll have a different first reading. So I'm going to cheat a little and do all four, or at least three of the four, in the time that we've got. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing. And they could be considerable at times, but they're as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption, to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. There are some difficult lines in there, the one they translate here, in the hope that creation is, it's just epelpidi, two little words, in hope, in expectation. This is provisional. They've opted for this translation. We know. That's faith. Faith is a way of knowing. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. We know that. This is not the full story. And not only that, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Salvation is the total transformation by divine life of the whole body person forever. So no wonder we're not happy when we're sick or when we're cold or when we're, you know, this isn't our natural state, or at least the state to which we're called forever. So creation groans. We groan. For in hope we were saved. We're saved. But we wait for it. The only uncertain part is us. This is a firm offer to eternal life on the part of God. What else would we need to know that? That we're here to receive the blessed Eucharist today. By no merit and no brains of our own. We know. Now hope that sees for itself, sees, is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. That's one of his favorite words, endurance. It's the characteristic of hope. Then, now we're cheating, it says, likewise, the Spirit himself comes to our aid. This is the third foundation of hope. The Holy Spirit, God himself, comes to our aid. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. We don't even know how to pray. I mean, we're hopeless. But the Spirit comes to our aid with unutterable groanings. Hear it? Creation groans. We groan. The Holy Spirit enters into these groans. He groans with us, awaiting the fulfillment of God's plan. And he who knows what the Spirit is saying in the hears it, hears it. That prayer is always heard because it's the Holy Spirit praying in us. What a thrill, isn't it? To know that our whole, all these methods of prayer they want to give you, sit on the floor, breathe deep, cut your carrots in 45 degree angle, all that, whatever, you know? No. Yield to the Holy Spirit and obey him. And when he's moving you to die to self and sin, do your best. Because he's praying. And God knows that that's according to the mind of God. What it really is, as we'll see a little later, it's the intercession of Jesus, talked about later in chapter 8, now made present once again on earth in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's our third foundation for our hope. The hope that is that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed in us. And then the fourth one, you can read yourself. I'm sure I'm running out of time. Not bad, but I keep going. Is God's plan. For those who love God, everything works together for good. Because God works it. And then, after the Feast of Simon and Jude, with their own beautiful readings, we'll pick up again. This hymn to the love of God, I am convinced, either death or life, principalities or powers, future or past, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the Father, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why this chapter 8, you see, is good news. So we go back to the first line here, you know, early in the morning. I know that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing. Let us be purified. Let the Lord work. Let the circumstances of life give us a hard time. It's preparing us for a weight of glory that's beyond imagining.